Mark chapter 9, verse 14. And when he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them, and the scribes questioning with them. And straightway all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed, and running to him, saluted him. And he asked the scribes, "What question ye with them?" And one of the multitude answered and said, "Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth, and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. He answereth him and saith, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming. And he asked his father, How long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, Of a child. And oft time it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus saith unto him, If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, Thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him, and he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, He is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he was come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, Why could not we cast him out? And he said unto them, This kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. I'd like you to look at the last expression of verse 19, if you would. Bring him unto me. After we pray, I'd like to preach for just a few minutes on bringing young people to Christ. Bringing young people to Christ. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I thank you so much for what we've heard today. Thank you for what we've seen. Thank you that there are still young people who have hearts for you and that love you with all their hearts. Thank you that you're still calling preachers and still calling preachers' wives and still sending kids to Bible college and still giving kids a heart for you. Lord, we know that you're still in the business of taking young people and turning them around so they can serve you with their lives. Thank you for the opportunity that I have to be the youth pastor here. We look forward to the preaching of your word tonight. I pray that you would hide me behind your cross. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. I can say nothing that would help anyone without your help. I need unction tonight. Be with the hearers, and let us, before the sermon ever starts, decide in our hearts that we're going to say yes to thee. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Jesus is in an interesting time in his ministry. At the beginning of Mark chapter 9, he took Peter, James, and John, and they went up to the Mount of Transfiguration. There they got a sneak preview, if you will, of the kingdom. Peter wanted to stay up on the mountain forever, but Jesus said, we have an appointment down in the valley. We'd better get going. And as is always the case, we can never stay on the mountaintop too long. And Jesus and Peter and James and John came down. When they came down, they found an interesting situation. They found that the disciples were there, the ones that they had left behind. They found that there was a great multitude around. And they found that old crowd, the scribes, were there too, the religious folk. And when Jesus came down, they'd just come from meeting with God. And there was a controversy down in the valley. And Jesus was wondering what was going on. There was a young boy there that needed to be brought to Jesus. There was a young boy that needed somebody to have the touch of God on his life so this young boy could get healed. But the disciples could not. So Jesus said, Bring him unto me. I'd like us to look at the characters, to look at this passage by the characters, if you would. And the first character that we notice is the boy, and he is a dependent. Now, in the parallel passage of this particular account, we can turn to Luke chapter 9. We won't go there tonight, but in Luke chapter 9, we learn that not only did this man have a son, but he says, this was mine only son. In the passage that we read here, Jesus asked the father, how long has he had this devil? How long has he been possessed? And he said, he's been possessed since he was a child. Now, in the New Testament, there is no word for teenager. You're a child or you're an adult. So we believe that because this boy had had a demon for a little while and he had gotten it when he was a child, that there's a good possibility that this young boy who was demon possessed was somewhere in the age range of 13 to 18 years old, somewhere what we would call in our society a teenager. Now, this was not just any teenager. Like I said, it was his only son. I have one son, and I know how that feels. You'll notice with me, if you would, that this man had a deaf and a dumb spirit. Look what it says in verse 25. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit. Okay, insert teenager joke right here. I was a little bit afraid that after I got through preaching on this passage, I would have some parents come up to me after the service and say, Brother Tyler, after you've preached tonight, I know exactly what my young person needs. Well, what do they need? They need an exorcist. I think my young child has a dumb and a deaf spirit. Well, why do you think that? Well, because every time I tell him to take out the trash, he doesn't hear me. He's got to have a deaf spirit. I said, well, surely he doesn't have a dumb spirit. I know this young man. He said, have you seen his report card? So I want you to know I do not have the number to an exorcist tonight. I do not even have the number to a charismatic lady preacher. You're going to have to take care of your child on your own. He had a dumb and a deaf spirit. But it was not dumb and deaf spirit like maybe some of your young people have, though none of the young people that I know here today have those spirits. He was possessed by a devil. And when I think about this young boy, I think that he is a dependent. We read several times in our passage that the Spirit took him somewhere, that the Father brought him unto Jesus. The only way this child was ever going to get to Jesus was if somebody brought him. He was a dependent. So we see, first of all, the dependent. But I'd like you to notice, secondly, if you would, at verse 17, let's notice another character in this story. And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. The next character I'd like to notice is the devil, and he is a destroyer. Look what he said this devil did to him in verse 22. And oft times it hath cast him into the fire and into the water to destroy him. I want you to know, first of all, that the devil targets young people. I believe I could say with absolute assurance that number one on Satan's most wanted list are young people. There is no accident that every hellish movie is targeted at young people. There is no accident that every hellish, ungodly, wicked song by hellish, ungodly, wicked people are aimed right at the hearts of teenagers. I have news for you, middle-aged man. Lady Gaga and Katy Perry really don't care if you listen to their music. Senior citizens, I want you to know Beyonce and Jay-Z don't care if you think their music is too wild. They are after teenagers. They're taking marching orders from the devil, and that's exactly who he wants them to influence. He's after our young people. He's got a full wage war upon them. And it's about time that some of God's people stood up and said, I'm going to fight for what the devil's fighting for. If the devil knows that it's important to get young people, maybe I should start going after young people. If the devil knows it's important to get into public schools, maybe I should start getting into public schools. We need to start taking the devil in his territory and fight what the devil is fighting for, and he's fighting for young people. He targets them. But I want you to see in verse 18, this is sad. Look what it says. It says, and wheresoever he taketh him. Not only does he target them, he takes them. And not only is Satan targeting this generation, but he's taking them, folks. Did you know right here in the buckle of the Bible Belt, Fort Worth, Texas, that 80% of teenagers went nowhere to church this morning? That doesn't sound like a minority. That sounds like a majority. It doesn't just sound like a majority. It sounds like an overwhelming majority. You know, we can't get 80% of young Americans to agree on anything, from politics to music to style. I can't even get 80% of my teenage boys to agree together to use underarm deodorant. But you know what? 80% of young America has clearly spoken. They're not coming to church this Sunday. They're not coming next Sunday. And they're not coming the Sunday after that. And it doesn't take a mathematician to understand that we can only do so much with 20%. You see, we live in a city that has more full-time youth pastors and more youth facilities and more churches reaching out to young people than perhaps any city in America. But still, 80% of them are unreached. He's not just targeting them, friends. He has taken them. We're not talking about bubblegum and spit wads anymore. We're talking about pregnancy packs and internet pornography. We're talking about sexting and abortion and drug and alcohol addiction. I'm talking about it's time not to just say, well, if we don't do something, things are going to get bad. Things have gotten, friend, bad. They've gotten bad. And we've got to do something about it right now. He's targeting them, and he has taken them. And then what does he do when he takes them? We read it in verse 22. He said, and oft times it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy them. He torments them. You see, this father saw Satan do something physically to his son that he desires to do spiritually to every lost person. Look what it says there. It says, "And ofttimes it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him." What's happening outwardly to this boy is really what's happening inwardly to every lost teenager. And by the way, not just every lost teenager, every lost child and every lost old person and everybody that fits anywhere in between. The devil wanted to take this young man's body and put him into the fire. But listen, I don't feel sorry for that boy because he got to Jesus in time. Let me tell you who I feel sorry for. Not for the young man whose body goes to the fire, but to the teenagers whose souls will go to a lake of everlasting fire. I want you to know something, young person. The devil's not your friend. Beyonce and Jay-Z are not your friends. MTV and VH1 are not your friends. They want to destroy you. They want to drag your souls to hell. You say, "He'll never possess me." But listen, friends, he'll oppress you. He'll never indwell me. But listen, friends, he's influencing you. And he's fighting every second of every day to get the hearts of our young people. He's a liar. He's a murderer. He's a devourer. And he wants to consume you and destroy you, young person. It's not time to play around anymore. It's time to get serious. You know why? Because there's a real devil, and he's a destroyer. We see, first of all, the boy. He's a dependent. Secondly, the devil. He's a destroyer. But I want you to look with me at verse 17. We see another character here. "And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit." We see another character here. We see a father. And this father gets desperate. Look what he does in verse 20. "After Jesus commanded him to bring him unto me, and they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And he asked his father, How long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, Of a child. And oft times it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us." I have circled in my Bible those words, "if thou canst." I have no doubt that this father had taken his young person everywhere he knew to take him. He had taken him to every doctor he could. He had taken him to every priest. He had taken him to every synagogue in the nation. He was looking for somebody that could help his son, not just his son, his only son. And he says to Jesus, "Jesus, I was real confident about this thing when I first got here. I heard that you had made blind people see and that you had made lame people walk and that you could do anything. So I was real confident. But I came looking for you and you weren't here. You were up on the mountain. So I asked your disciples who have already done all sorts of miracles by this time. I asked your disciples if they could heal him. But they could not." You know what I see first of all about this desperate father? The disappointment. He said, "I brought my son, my only son to you. And you could not." You know, I guess lost people are just crazy enough to believe that when they get around Christian people, that they'll have the touch of God on their lives and be able to help them. I guess lost people are just crazy enough to believe that if they walk inside the doors of a church, someone will talk to them and be friendly to them and show the compassion of Christ on them. I guess lost people are just crazy enough to believe that the Christian couple they know ought to help them with their hurting marriage. And I guess lost teenagers are just crazy enough to believe that if they come to a church, somebody will care about them. He said, "I'm disappointed. I thought that you could, but I've seen the life of your disciples, and now I'm wondering if you can." First of all, the disappointment. But let's keep reading here. Not only is he disappointed, but verse 22, "And oft times it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us." Jesus said unto him, "If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth." And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, "Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief." You know what we have here? We have a father who saw something that not many of us fathers get to see. He got to see outwardly what was happening to his son inwardly. You know what it made him? Made him desperate. It made him cry. It made him weep. And Jesus commanded this father, and he said, "Bring this boy to me." And I want you to know something, moms and dads, that the same directive that was given this man is the same directive that is given to us today. Every mother and father in this room is saddled with the obligation to take your child and to bring them to the feet of Jesus. Now, you can bring a horse to water, you can't make him drink, but you better make sure that he gets to the feet of Jesus. And I want to say this as kindly and as compassionately as I can. This directive was not given to this boy's pastor. It was not given to his youth pastor. It was not given to his friends. It was given to his father. Moms and dads, it is our responsibility to make sure that our young people know at least one person in their life who has the power of God. If you don't bring them to Jesus, they might never get there. In my experience as a youth pastor, I've discovered that there are some reasons young people do things. Some young people use foul language, and it doesn't take me long to figure out they use foul language because mom and dad use foul language. Some young people have problems with pornography. Doesn't take me long to realize maybe dad has a problem too. You cannot bring your child to Jesus if you're not there yourself. We can never take our kids somewhere we are not. And if you don't start reading your Bible, your young person may never start reading his Bible. If you don't start getting desperate for God in your life, your young person may never get desperate for God. If you give little regard to God and God's house, do not be surprised when your young person gives God little regard in his life. The directive is to bring him unto me, and it is the responsibility of parents to bring their children to Jesus Christ. This father gets desperate enough to say, "Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. I've tried everything I know how to do in my own power. Now it's up to you, Jesus. Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief." You know, all it takes is just a little faith to get our kids to Jesus. This man didn't have great faith. He just had a little faith. It reminds me of a story that Spurgeon told. He said that there was a woman in the neighborhood that was well known for being a lady of great faith. A new convert, another lady, had heard about her great faith, and she went to ask this lady what was the secret to her great faith. And she said, "Are you the lady that has great faith?" And she said, "No, I'm the woman with a little faith and a great God." Amen. And folks, if all you have is just enough faith to get your kids to church, at least they're going to hear about the great God. It's time that we get desperate enough to trust God for our young people. So we see, first of all, a dependent. We see, secondly, a destroyer. We see, thirdly, a desperate father. But I want you to notice, and this is so exciting, look what it says in verse 24. "And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, 'Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief.' When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, 'Thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him.' And the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him. And he was as one dead, inasmuch that many said, 'He is dead.' But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose." And I see here Jesus, the deliverer. By sake of time, I want to tell you that he saved this man compassionately. Isn't that what the Father said? If thou canst have compassion on us and help us, will you do it? I want you to know that our Lord is a Lord of compassion. If you're here today and you're unsaved, you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you can go to the same place that that boy went, and I promise you, Jesus will heal whatever your problem is. He'll forgive you of your sin. You can go to the same compassionate Christ that that boy went to. Not only did he save him compassionately, but look what else he said. He lifted him up by the hand, and he arose. And then it says up in verse 26, "And the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him, and he was as one dead, and so much that many said, 'He is dead.'" He saved this man convincingly. You know what happened? The spirit left this man, and Satan put up a last stand. And by the way, some of you young people that are trying to serve God and get rid of your junk music and get rid of your junk friends, he's going to take a last stand, and it's going to hurt, and it's going to be painful. He takes a last stand in the life of this man, and he lays down as dead, and I believe that he was dead. But thank God, Jesus' salvation is a convincing salvation, because everybody thought that he was dead. Everybody thought that he was hopeless. But Jesus Christ took his hand, and he lifted him up, and I've got good news for you. He rose. It doesn't matter how lost you are in here today. It doesn't matter how sinful and how wicked you are. Jesus Christ always gets the dead boy up. And he'll get you up too. He saves compassionately. And he saves convincingly. But we've got another crowd to look at tonight. And we've got to come to them quickly. Verse 28. And when he was coming to the house, his disciples asked him privately, "Why could not we cast him out?" And he saith unto them, "This kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting." You see, the disciples already had education. They'd been with Jesus for over a year now. They had already had experience. They had already been sent forth into all the country to do miracles two by two, the 70 of them. They had already had an example. They had seen Jesus say the same words and cast devils out many times. But their education, their example, and their experience was no match for the devil that was on the inside of this boy. And I see a lot of people and a lot of Christians who think that their education is going to get the dead boy up. That their experience and their example is going to get the dead boy up. But you know what God said? You know what Jesus Christ, the Son of God, said? He said, "This kind cometh forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting." You see, we've got the youth facilities. We've got the entertainment. We've got the activities and the camps and the blowouts. But here's what we're missing, folks. The power of Almighty God that comes only by prayer and fasting. I don't know about you, but I want this kind of youth department. I want this kind of church. I want this kind of soul winning. I want this kind of revival. I want to see this kind of miracle in my life. But we can only get this kind by prayer and fasting. I wonder if the young people in our church, no more than 5 people, that have the power of God on their life. You know what young people are starving for today? It's not another program. It's not another personality. It's not another preacher. They are starving to see the power of God in America's churches again. The young people of America are dying for lack of the supernatural. Because when they come into church, it's business as usual. When they come into church, it's status quo Christianity. They see it at home. And sadly, they see it at church. And it's about time that we realize we don't need to change our message. We don't need to change our music. We don't need to change our program. What we need to change is ourselves. I wonder, are you this kind of Christian? Are you that kind? That kind's never going to see revival. That kind's never going to see 20% turned around. That kind is never going to see the power of God. But I want you to know something. Jesus Christ is still in the lifting up business. He's still in the dead boy raising business. And all he needs are some Christians to get a hold of God and not just pray, but pray fervently. Not just go soul winning, but be soul winners. Not just be content for status quo Christianity, but to get the power of God in their life so teenagers know there's something real down at that church. There's something real when that preacher preaches from the pulpit. There's something real in that youth pastor. There's something real in that singer. There's something real in that Christian couple. There's something real in that grandma and that grandpa. They need to see something real. Do you have it? God help us all to be this kind of Christians. Let's pray. Father in heaven, as I preach a message like this, my own heart is so convicted. Oh God, I want my teenagers to see this kind of youth pastor. All I want is for that little red-headed boy who calls me daddy to know that God is real. God, all I want is for those kids that ride in on our buses. All I want is for them to know that there's a God in heaven and He's real. Help us all to pay the price to be this kind of Christian. In Jesus' name I pray.